It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
On a nice Saturday morning, Teresa Rooney, quite different than when you joined
last week.
Wow. 39 is the official Twin City temperature reading. And if you're just joining us, thanks for doing so. Smart Gardens around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, brought to us by our good friends at By the Yard down in Jordan, Minnesota, that makes the best patio furniture in the whole world. They got an open house coming up a week from today. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is back with us in studio answering your questions either by phone or by text. In fact, Teresa, let me give you those numbers, those folks the numbers so they can get to it. We've cleared the lines. The folks are calling in right now as we speak. 651-989-9226. If you'd rather send a text like some folks are doing, 81807. We were, again, thinking about the change in the change in the weather from last week. And I asked you off the air, is, you know, the shrubs, the plants, are they hurt at all? Because all of a sudden, we're all surprised, including them.
No, because it wasn't even that cold.
That's true.
And it was just, as you mentioned, snow, moisture. Yeah. It's just all good stuff to get into the soil.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if we'll get any questions about raking the yards yet. But
don't
not
rake your yet. Yard.
I bet we do, though.
I bet we do.
Or Creeping Charlie. Mm-hmm. It's another thing. But the lines are open again if you want to give us a shout or send a text, 81807. You know what, Bill is the first. I tell you what, let's just see if we can't field as many calls as
let's
we can.
Let's do that.
Bill in Victoria is with us. Thanks, Bill. What is your question for Teresa?
Hi, Bill.
Thank you. I called in. I've got a question about all my arborvitaes. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, I had three technical arborvitaes. Mm-hmm. And then five hence midget arborvitaes, mm-hmm. if I'm pronouncing those things right.
One is Techne and the other is Hetz midget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They've all, with the past two snowstorms and the drifting, mm-hmm. they're now open, but they're all falling down, and the centers on the midget ones are all open. Mm-hmm. Will they come back, or is that?
They might come back. You'll have to let them see what's going to happen with the heavy snow. They do, the arborvitaes with the multi-trunks do tend to do that. And they should come back if you want. Once everything warms up and if you think, oh, they're not coming back, you can gently tie them back together with pantyhose. Just get some inexpensive pantyhose and gently just tie them loosely together, and that will help them to come up because they want to grow straight up anyway. That's what they
want. What kind of hose is that?
Pantyhose.
Okay.
Nylons, ladies nylons, buy them at the cheap dollar store or something, doesn't matter what color. And then next year, what you might want to do, anyone who has arborvitaes that split like that, you may want to just put something around some of the trunks in the fall just to prevent that.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll come back.
Hopefully
because
they will.
The technical or whatever, they're starting to fall down too, the branches.
Right, right. And because they do have so many different trunks in there, that's what happens sometimes to those.
Very good, Bill. Thank you
thank
for the
you,
call.
Bill. Mm-hmm.
Bill leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. We'll get to the text messages in a moment. By the way, that text number, 81807. Teresa, Rebecca is on the line from Coon Rapids. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Yes, two questions. Is it too late to trim the oak trees?
Yes.
We didn't want to come back. It's been too cold, and we just got back.
I would say it's too late. I've seen insects out. I wouldn't do it now.
Okay, and then does the ground have to be a certain temperature before you try to pick up the leaves that from the oak trees?
You know, the temperature is not what's important. What is important is how moist it is, and the ground is way too wet. If the ground was frozen solid, you could pick up the oak tree leaves.
Okay.
If the ground is starting to thaw and it's wet and squishy, do not step on it. So stay off your lawns and everything. If it's wet, squishy, don't go on it.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
Rebecca. Thank you. Rebecca leaves that line open, 651-989-9226, here on CCO Smart Garden Show. Teresa, a texter says, and you're going to have to help me with this, what and when should an autumn blaze maple tree be treated for red dots, eggs, prevention on leaves. Do you know what that texture means?
It could be some galls that they're seeing on the leaves, or they might be seeing some rust on the leaves. It's really not a problem for the plant. You'd have to know exactly what it is. The insect eggs on the leaves are not a problem. Don't worry about those at all. And if there is a disease, you have to make sure you know which disease you're running into, and then you'll know how to treat it and when to treat it. So it really depends on what it is. But usually the maples are pretty healthy, and they don't succumb to a lot of diseases.
Pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Text number 81807 for Teresa. We just purchased, texter says, a house this winter.
Oh, congrats.
And I'd love to start a garden this spring. What's the best way to start a garden if there's grass in the area that I want to plant?
Okay, well, you could dig it up. You could remove the turf and then amend the soil with some compost. Or you can just cut the turf really short, get the soil wet, lay down some newspaper, get that wet, and then put some compost or garden soil on top of that, and then just plant that way. Either way works really well. Just make sure you look up to see how sunny it's going to be and that you're planting the right plant in the right place.
Okay. Again, text number is 81807, or call us, 651-989-9226. Texter says, what causes leaf damage on boxwood? You and I were talking about boxwood a bit ago. What causes seems browner this year? How to prevent this?
Yep, that's probably a winter burn that you're seeing there.
Ah.
And they may not have gotten enough moisture going into the fall. So because they have their leaves on all winter, just like the evergreens have their needles on all winter, they're losing more moisture to the air than the trees that drop their leaves. So eventually they run out of moisture in their roots, and then the leaves die. A little bit of browning, that's not going to be a problem. You just wait until the plant comes out of dormancy, see what greens up again. If it doesn't green up, just gently cut it out, and it should fluff out in that area. But that's what you're seeing is a winter burn, so you have to check that. Keep it well watered in the fall.
All right, let's see. Getting a lot of text messages, 81807. Let's see.
And if we can't get to them, they should go to the extension.umn.edu, especially the person starting the garden.
Yeah, good point.
That will give that person really good ideas.
Yeah, tell us that website, because that is a great resource.
Yep. extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab and be fascinated.
Very good. Yes, a lot of good stuff there. All right, let's see. Text message. We have a, I'm sorry. I have a maple tree.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get these in order here.
Okay.
I have a maple tree which was planted too deeply last year in clay soil. I'm considering having it removed and planting a new maple. Please advise.
Yep, you can pull it up and then replant it this fall, this spring, as soon as the ground's workable, or just take it out and put in another tree. Especially with clay soil, I've got to plant those plants a little bit higher. And maples get girdling roots really easy, so it's extremely important to plant your maple. So that first root that comes out of the root ball is right at the surface or just below. And understand, maples like to have their roots right at the surface, and they pop out of the ground. That's what maple trees do. So if you're planting a lawn and you don't like roots on the surface, don't plant a maple. Plant something else.
All right. Very good. You know what? We need to take a break.
Okay.
Should we do that?
We can do that.
651-989-9226. Or send a text, 81807. Our Smart Garden Show returns here on a Saturday where it's 39 degrees. We might hit 60 today. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is in studio helping you out by phone or by text. There's a line open if you'd like to use it, 651-989-9226. Or send a text, 81807. Teresa Craig is calling in from Balsam Lake, I believe. Craig, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Craig.
Good morning, Teresa. Well, I'm glad I got through.
I am, too.
Yeah, I bought a place near Balsam Lake, Wisconsin, here 4 years ago, and it's got four apple trees. Mm-hmm. And the first year I was there, three of them produced some apples.
Mm-hmm.
But they've gone, I don't know if you want to call it dormant, or they're just not producing like they should.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some red pines near it, and a couple of the branches of the red pines, they're taller, of course, kind of overhang it. I don't know if the shade.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question is, when's the best time to prune apple trees?
That would have been February, March.
Oh, boy.
So it's not good now. It's a little late to prune them because there could be fungal diseases out there even at this time, and you don't want to kill your apple trees. They do need full sun to bring the fruit, so they do need that. Are you seeing flowers?
Not yet.
I mean, no, not yet. I'm sorry. Oh. Other years. Do they flower nicely for you?
It's like I said, they've kind of regressed. Mm-hmm. Each year, mm-hmm. and I attributed it to the shade from the red pines.
That's what I would attribute it to also. They do need full sun, so the more sun they're going to get, the better they'll flower. And then when you see the flowers, you're going to see the pollination, and then you'll see the apples.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much,
and you can go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. That will give you some really good ideas about how to trim those trees to maybe take advantage of what little sun there might be there, and maybe if you could trim back one of the branches on the red pines, although you might not want to do that. Maybe it's time to find a sunnier place and plant a new apple tree or two.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
Greg.
Never enough apple trees.
Never enough. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Good luck with that. Marlene is calling from Buffalo, I believe. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Marlene.
Hello, Marlene.
Hi. How can we help you today?
I brought up my geranium plant in the house last fall and have kept it watered all winter. Mm-hmm. It has grown to 3 feet tall, mm-hmm. and is now covered with blossoms.
Oh, how beautiful.
How do I plant it outside in the flower garden?
Well, you'd want to wait. You can be fertilizing it now because it is blooming or it will be blossoming. You want to just plant it, wait till the ground's nice and warm, and then you would just plant it right out as you would any other plant. If it's too big, go ahead and cut it back. You know, cut it down by a third or a quarter, whatever makes you happy, that if so it fits in the size again. And just transplant it gently into the garden. It will be just fine.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Marlene. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Back to the text messages, Teresa. We have a spruce tree, texter says, more than 60 years old, mm-hmm. that has been losing its bark since December. Why is that, and what can we do?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I would, you know, a tree like that is something that you'd want your arborist to look at because it's such a vital part of your environment. So I would have an arborist come out. It could just be some bark defoliation. It could just be naturally that it's shedding its bark. But I would want to make sure that you don't have bark beetles or anything like that in there. I would probably get an arborist, a certified arborist, come out to look at it.
Especially a friend that's been around that long.
Especially, yeah, and there's such a big part of your ecology, your community, your yard. You know, you have a lot of history with that tree. And big trees add a lot of money to your landscape. They make your landscape they add more value to your landscape.
True.
You know, so you want to, so either your city forester or ask for an arborist to come out.
Okay. Texter says, hello, I have large globe arborvitae lining my walk. They got flattened. Can I prune them into a shrub?
Oh, well, you could try. You know, if it's a case between you're going to take them out or you're going to like either prune them back, go ahead and prune them back, see how they respond. Sometimes major pruning can really hurt a big plant like that because they need those needles. They need those green to supply the energy, and you'd be cutting an awful lot off. But you could try it. There's no rules against it.
Yeah.
There's no laws against it. It may work. It may not work.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Texter says, no snow in Alexandria.
All right.
Is it good time to treat Creeping Charlie?
If you see Creeping Charlie out there and it's blooming already, you go ahead and treat it.
Yeah. But isn't fall generally the best time?
Yeah. It's when it's blooming or after the first frost in the fall are the best times to hit Creeping Charlie. Mm-hmm.
Texter says, when is a good time to fertilize lilacs with nitrogen? I have about 200 lilacs.
You know, if your lilacs are anywhere near your lawn and you're fertilizing your lawn, you probably don't need nitrogen. If you want to, you can do it anytime as soon as they come out of dormancy. Nitrogen will help the leaf growth. It won't help the flower growth. So,
okay. Yeah. If you would rather send Teresa your text question, 81807, or call us, 651-989-9226. Here's one. Text, I want to plant blueberries this year.
Ooh.
I tested the soil and came back with a 7.5 pH. How much peat moss or any other product should be applied per square foot to lower to the desired four to five.
You know what I would do? I would definitely go to the extension website. I personally don't use peat moss. I don't know. I just have issues with it. But soil sulfur is something you're going to need, and you're going to need that twice a year at least. So when you get your plants, you will want to, they'll come with soil sulfur in the soil. Add some more when you're planting. Top dress it as soon as you're done planting. And then every spring and fall, keep top dressing it with soil sulfur. That's what you're going to have to do. And periodically, maybe test your soil to see if you're doing that enough. The peat moss doesn't really lower the pH of the soil that much. So I'd probably just use some compost. I'd get some good compost or manures.
You know, speaking of that website, and I know we've talked from time to time about getting tested lawn or garden tested, and that's a good idea.
That's an excellent idea, especially if, well, not this person did already get their lawn tested or their yard tested, but it's a wonderful idea.
How do you do that?
You know, you go to the website. You can even just Google soil test, do them, and it'll bring you right over to the site. You grab a bunch of little samples from the space. You mix them together, and you send about 3/4 to a cup of soil, I think, is what they're wanting, just in a little plastic bag. And you fill out a form and send them $17 or whatever the cost is. I believe that's what it is. And they'll send you back your report telling you what kind of soil you have, the pH, how much organic matter you have. And then if you're putting in a lawn or a garden or blueberries, they'll give you suggestions about what to add, what kind of fertilizer, and what amendments you may want to add to your soil.
There's a texter that's rather impatient.
Okay.
What can I do to speed up getting rid of the snow and frozen ground so I can start planting my garden?
Well, you could be trimming back your trees to make sure there's a lot of sun out there. You know, in the snow, you know, those big piles, knock them down, spread them out so they melt faster. And understand that no matter how quickly the ground thaws, we still have cold air to deal with.
Yep.
So and the ground takes a long time to thaw out. You just have to go with it. You could also next year consider putting in little hoop houses or little low hoops or low tunnels, and that will help you get your gardening up and growing faster. It's something that's very interesting. So with some of the hoop houses or even the low tunnels, you can be growing things, you know, through November into December and then March and starting again. And so you could have been growing already. Even this year with all the snow, you could have been growing in a low tunnel out in March.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, we need to take a break. We do have another half hour of the show to go. If you miss getting in by phone or by text, you'll have a chance. Call us, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, helping you out both by phone and by text. Teresa, I see a line open. Somebody can fill it at 651-989-9226. Got a bunch of text messages at 81807. But, you know, Laura is waiting there in White Bear Lake to ask you a question. Now, thank you, Laura. What is your question?
Hi, please? Laura.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I received an amaryllis bulb for Christmas, and I planted it in a pot and stuff, and it grew beautifully, and it produced some beautiful flowers.
Mm-hmm.
But now do I clip off? Since they're dead now, basically, do I clip off the flowers and will it produce more?
What you want to do is clip off the flowers and keep the plant growing. And this summer, put the plant outside. Get it used to being outside, so you harden it off and give it as much sun as you can. Then you bring it back in the fall. Some people let them go dormant, and then it has enough energy then next year to give you another flower. It's only going to flower once a year. Think of it as a daffodil or a tulip, but it's something that you keep in your house in the wintertime, so it can't be in the ground in the wintertime. But yeah, you want it to have as many leaves and just keep photosynthesizing, so it just took a lot of energy to make that beautiful flower. And now you need to let it get a lot of energy back into its bulb again so it can give you more flowers next year. So cut off the dead flower, go ahead and just leave the green leaves.
I'd like to thank our sponsor, By the Yard, for sponsoring their show every single week.
Thank you.
We appreciate that family-run business. Texter says this, Teresa, have been treating three hibiscus trees for 2 months. white fly issue.
Oh, yeah.
Used systemic and have been spraying. Trees have been wrapped in clear plastic. They're still blooming and growing. White flies still present. Any ideas?
You know, you want to make sure you do have white flies. And the white flies probably aren't bothering the trees that much. So that's why you're not getting the killing of the flies, because they're not eating the plants. So you may want to put up some sticky traps. That's really good for white flies, the yellow sticky traps. You can make them yourself or you can buy them, and that will be really good. Shine a light on the yellow at night and the white flies flock over there and they all get stuck, and then you just throw them away. That might be something, but yeah. But hibiscus and lots of your house plants or lots of your plants you brought in the fall will really be stressed now because they've just been in our houses so long.
You and I were talking about how anxious so many of us are to get outside, whether it's lawn work, garden work, or both. So a texter says, is it too early to put lawn patch down?
Yes.
It's too early.
Way too early. Well, you know, it depends. I guess it
depends
really
on
depends.
Your yard. What
if
shape
your
it's
yard
in.
Is really, it's dry and it's dried out and you see some grass growing out there, you could go ahead and do it. Some parts of the state that may be viable. In my yard, no, because there's still snow on my yard.
Back, to, yeah, mine too. Let's go back to the phones. Jake is calling from Morristown. Jake, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Jake.
Hi, Teresa. Really like the show. I work at a lawn and garden center, and I just have a quick question.
Sure.
Where can I find volcano ash?
Volcano ash. You know, I honestly don't know. That might be something you may have to source online. Maybe look in some of the gardener supply catalogs, like Gardener Supply or some of those. I've never seen it for sale that I'm aware of locally. So it's probably something you're going to have to source online.
And yeah, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. What can I ask what you're using that for?
Oh. Certain kind of tomato.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I would probably try to source it online.
So is that real volcanic ash?
I would guess. Yeah. I'm not aware of this.
Man.
I mean, I know that there's such stuff out
such
there.
A
I don't
thing.
Know how you'd use it in your garden. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Great. Now I have something to research when I get home
something
today
to Google.
After classes. Yes.
All right. Let's see. I'm interested in texter says this, in planting a climbing vine in a container for my patio. Mm-hmm. Any climbing vines that will do okay in shade?
Shade. Brain just went blank. You know, the clematis would, but that's an annual or a perennial. And I can't think of any right now, but I would definitely look at your garden center stores, and I would go to our extension website, umn.edu. My brain just wasn't thinking that. I can't really think of anything in a container for shade. Yeah.
It's for just, a climbing vine.
For a climbing vine. Yeah. It's and nothing
that's
that would be
one.
More annual-ish that you're looking for. Everything I can think of, you know, you could try the beans, but you may not get many flowers on those, and the purple beans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question is, does crabgrass preventer fertilizers also inhibit germination of lawn grass seed?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. It doesn't know the difference between dandelion seeds, crabgrass seeds, lawn seeds, maple seeds. It knows no difference.
Kind of another lawn question here via text. When's a good time to put on crabgrass preventer?
That's what you would want to use when your lilacs are blooming and the soil is about 55 to 60. Now, if you do have a lot of crabgrass right next to your cemented areas, your concrete, right by the driveway, you could back that up by a week or two because those areas warm up a lot faster than the center of your yard. So you may want to put down two different applications in the two different places. And Sam Bauer and his group has some excellent, excellent articles on lawn care on the extension site.
Yeah.
So I would definitely go there.
That's our friend Sam Bauer,
yep.
Our turf guru.
He knows everything.
Knows the stuff. He's going to be on the show one of these days again, too.
Yes, he's amazing.
Text number is 81807, or you can call us, call Teresa, at 651-989-9226. A texter says, with our wet ground from the snowmelt, how long should we wait before applying pre-emergent herbicide?
I wouldn't put any, well, you know, you want the ground to warm up. So again, I would probably wait till your ground's about 55, 60 degrees, get a thermometer, or just figure out when the lilacs are blooming in your area. They bloom about that time if you've got any lilacs in there. And always read the instructions. If the instructions say the ground has to be 60, then you need to wait till 60, because it really depends upon what you're putting down the pre-emergent for.
All right. Texter says they want to plant a Honeycrisp. Where would we be able to buy a young Honeycrisp to plant in our new yard?
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I'm glad you have a new yard. Honeycrisp apples, you're going to be able to find that just about in any garden center will have them. You can even purchase them online. But go to your local garden center, your favorite local garden center. Let them know early that that's what you want. They may have already put their orders in, but they may be able to, like, save one for you. And remember, you do need two different kinds of apple trees, or the Honeycrisp and a crab apple, so that you get apples. So two Honeycrisp aren't going to cross-pollinate, but a Honeycrisp and a Harrelson or Honeycrisp and your crab apple will pollinate.
I always found that interesting.
Isn't that cool? That's just cool. Nature is so cool like that.
I should say.
Yeah.
All right. We have callers coming in too, Teresa.
Okay.
Let's talk to Carol, who's calling from Woodbury. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Good morning. My question is, last fall, somehow the campfire ashes got dumped into my raised garden.
Oh, dear. Yes.
And I'm wondering, is that better to remove it or to mix it in with the soil?
You know, I would probably remove it. Our soils are such a high pH already, and those ashes really raise the pH again. You can do a soil test, of course, but I would probably remove it and put them in their proper place, the ashes in their proper place. If a little stay in the soil, it's not a big deal, but I probably wouldn't mix it in, because it will raise your pH of your soil, and your plants may not like that.
It so
may
get rid
a little
of it.
Too high. I'd probably get rid of it.
All right, Carol. Let's see. Robert is calling in from Northfield, I believe. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My wife and I are tree lovers, and the result has resulted in a lot of moss on our house, on everything. And, of course, I have a garden I want to till up. It's more green than black, let me put it that way. Is it all right just to till that into the soil?
Sure. That's
something?
Not a problem. Now, the moss is there because the soil is compacted, or low nutrition, or not enough air circulation, or it's damp, or any combination. So if you can change some of those aspects, you may have less soil. But I wouldn't worry about putting it into the soil. It really doesn't hurt the soil, and it's not going to hurt any plants. Even if you see a lot of moss come back, it just means that it's happy growing there, and you can take it off or just amend the soil with some nice compost. That'll help bring up those nutrients, get some more light in there, some more air circulation. You'll see less moss.
Very good. Teresa, quick break is in order. We'll be back here on CCU with more Smart Garden. Your calls and texts for Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, 845 and 39 degrees here in the Twin Cities. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden show here on CCO. We're around every Saturday. Thanks to our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. Thanks to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney for helping you out, helping us out.
I love it.
Here on CCO. All right, we have a bunch of text messages.
Okay.
Callers as well. Let's get back to them. Sue is calling, I believe, from St. Francis. Thanks for waiting, Sue. You're on with Teresa.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I planted two Limelight hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read and am getting conflicting information on what to do with them. Some people say, oh, I cut mine down every fall to 3 inches or so, and the directions everywhere say prune off, you know, the old stuff and let them be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hesitant to cut them down because I planted them last year. Mm-hmm. They're less than 2 feet tall.
Yep.
What should I do?
You know, you only need to cut them down if they're getting so big out of their space that you need that to bring them back in. And that so you don't have to cut them down ever if you don't want to. You can just trim them to fit the space, and you could be trimming now if you wanted to. But since they're only 2 feet tall, you don't have to do anything. So just give them love. And if they start getting too big, then you can carefully prune them back in the spring, you know, if you need to. But yeah, you don't have to prune them if you don't want to. So it's just to fit their space and to keep them looking how you want them to look, more upright, more bushy, whatever the design and the how you wanted them to grow and to fit their space. That's how you do it.
Okay, very good.
Good luck.
Thank you, Sue. Grace is on the line for you, Teresa. Grace from Mountain Lake. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi there. I have some fruit trees that are growing near some black walnut trees,
mm-hmm.
and they're really showing some bad signs,
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about transplanting. I have three young ones.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be transplanted now? Well, as soon as the ground thaws?
As soon as you can dig the soil, do transplant them because they will die from the jug loan. The apple trees especially are very susceptible to the jug loan. So you need to move them as far away from that black walnut as you possibly can. Dig them up. I would remove as much of the soil as possible and then transplant them gently into the new garden space. A lot of maybe some compost just to give them a little bit of extra help, and no fertilizing this year, but just keep them well watered. Good luck.
What is that stuff that kind of poisons the area?
It's you know, lots of plants have chemicals in their system that help them keep their space. It's their personal space. Black walnuts have a chemical called juglone, J-U-G-L-O-N-E, and it impacts and kills a lot of other plants. So there's some plants you can't even grow near them, and because it produces this all its entire life. Buckthorn also has a chemical that helps kill other plants around it. Not as many plants are as
wow.
impacted. Yeah, so
buckthorn,
like,
too.
Yeah,
wow.
yeah. It's not as prevalent because it's not as strong, but the juglone is something that's very, very strong.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Some, you know, like hostas don't care, but
yeah.
apple trees and lilacs and berries, they do care.
Texter says, I had a new septic tank put in. I had the ground settled for 2 years now. What would you do to plant grass seed this spring? I assume they want to build it up somehow.
Yep. You know, just as long as the ground is settled and it's at the right height for you, you would just plant your grass seed as normal. I would go to Sam's, the extension website, look on the pages for lawn, starting a new lawn, and just go from there.
And what is that website again for those just joining us?
Extension.umn.edu, or if that's too much to remember, and sometimes it is early in the morning before you've had your coffee, just you know, lawn question, UMN, University of Minnesota.
Okay. Texter says, can I take some 4-inch diameter limbs off my ash tree today? The tree trunk is about 15-inch diameter, and the tree is healthy.
Oh, boy. You know, if you have to, I would do it if you have to, if they're lower or there's a problem. Again, you'll never want to take off more than a quarter of the tree at one time, so you may have to do this over 2 years. And in this case, as soon as you do that pruning, I would definitely seal that up. You don't want to get any emerald ash borer, you know, smelling out new fresh cut ashes. Otherwise, if you don't have to do it this time of year, I would not do it. But if it's an emergency and you've got to get it taken, then do the minimum you've got to do and put that pruner sealer on immediately afterwards.
Okay. A lot of folks anxious to get out in the yard. I can
yes,
see that
we
with
are.
The text messages.
My fingers are kind of like just twitching a little bit. I understand.
Texter says, what time of year, and maybe Sam has this on the website, what time of year do you aerate and when do you dethatch? I know Sam says from once in a while, you don't always have to dethatch.
You don't have to unless you have a thatch problem.
Okay.
And aeration is best done in the fall, in the early, late summer, early fall, I believe. And the thatch, you have a thatch problem if you're not mowing correctly. But if you mow correctly, you'll never have a thatch problem.
And how is that done?
Well, you let your grass grow maybe 3-4 inches high, and then you'll never cut back more than a third of it at a time. You sense a theme here, a third and a quarter.
Hmm.
Because then you're only cutting the leaves, and the leaves decompose quickly. It's when you cut way down and you cut those stems, and those stems are a little tougher. They don't decompose as quickly. And so then they start building up as a thatch.
Texter said, growing up, I used to see a lot of mountain ash trees used in landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not so much. Any reason? And what are the pros and cons of showy mountain ash?
You know, I love the showy mountain ashes, and I'm not sure why they're not used as much. They are susceptible to things like fire blight and everything else. And I think a lot of people just don't like, quote, messy, unquote, messy trees, because they can drop berries. They do have birds coming and eating and things like that. I think that may be part of the problem. But I have one growing in my backyard. I was thrilled to see it growing back there. So I don't know why people aren't planting them, because they are a pretty tree. They're a nice tree. You know, not that long lived. They are susceptible to a lot of diseases. And so that could be part of the problem. But, hey, go ahead. If you've got the right spot, go ahead. The birds will appreciate it.
Good. Dan is calling from Minnetonka, I believe, with a question. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Hi. I'd like to plant some raised bed gardens this year.
Yes.
Do you have a recommended height? Doesn't it matter?
It doesn't matter. It can be one inch. It can be 4 feet.
And then I was thinking it's Denny, right? Denny Long.
Yes.
You're like the luckiest guy to interview an auto mechanic expert,
I know it,
expert, and a home improvement expert. So if you get an education.
Denny's smart, too.
Dan,
he's
if only
smart.
I could do the work now, I'd be all right.
But he's a smart guy, too. You'd
thanks
be surprised.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. He's right. I do learn a lot of stuff. Usually, especially with people like a Master Gardener Teresa Rooney.
It really is amazing how well-versed you are in everything.
Oh, you're very kind.
I do love that,
it's,
yeah.
It's a lot of tap dancing is what it
is. Well, that's okay. That's okay. That works.
Carol is calling from Wyoming, Minnesota with a question. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yeah, I have a hyacinth plant that was beautiful, and now it's just the greens.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do with it now?
You know, you have some options because it was forced. It probably won't do very well next year. But you can either let it just be green in your house and enjoy it. You can send it to the compost bin right now and say thank you very much. As soon as the ground thaws out, you can plant. You can put that bulb in the ground, and maybe it will come back. Probably it won't do anything. It will probably just die. But those are your options. You can probably the easiest thing is just to say, hey, I really enjoyed this plant. Enjoy the green as long as it looks good, and then send it to your compost bin.
Okay.
Good
let's
luck.
See. We have about a minute, less than 2 minutes to go,
okay.
Teresa. The texter missed the answer we had about Creeping Charlie. Again, fall is really the best
fall
time to do it.
Fall is the best time to do it.
The texter says, I'm overrun with it.
You know, and just start working this spring. As soon as you see it, just start pulling it up. Manual pulling, it will go a long way, and not letting it seed out will go a long way too. And then not disturbing that soil afterwards. So do the minimal soil disturbing afterwards. You've got a seed bank of Creeping Charlie seeds in there like you wouldn't believe.
Anything I can do, Texter says, to help my spindly rhubarb plant, which my grandfather planted in our yard over 50 years ago.
Wow. Okay, make sure it's getting as much sun as possible and side dress it with a lot of compost or give it some fertilizer because they're really heavy feeders.
Should I, Texter says, use a shrub fertilizer, Spike, for my climbing hydrangea vine?
Not necessary.
Not
no.
really?
No. Compost and a little soil amendments if you want. You don't have to use a Spike.
No, we're almost out of time, but a texter sent a reminder that maybe you can correct me if this is Happy Earth Day tomorrow.
It is Happy Earth Day.
It is Earth Day
on the 22nd. Yes, Happy Earth Day. I wanted to say a quick hi to Julie and Bugsy.
Okay.
I couldn't stop and talk on the way. Bugsy's one of my puppy friends. I couldn't give him a kiss, so Julie had to do that.
Right, so I hope
this
makes
up for it.
All right, let's do this, Teresa. Thanks for coming in again, of course.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Give us that website of the U of M.
extension.umn.edu.
And there you go.
There you go. Thank you, everybody.
We'll have another show next week, another Smart Garden show here on 830 WCCO.